Now then, we're thankful tonight for those that are here, and certainly God has sent us here, and certainly we've been having a wonderful time in the Lord Jesus, been having a real good time in the Word of God, and the Lord has been blessing us. And tonight, I had a few things I wanted to speak on, and I thought, well, God, if the devil doesn't do anything else, he'll cause it to be a little cool tonight to make it uncomfortable for sure. He'll work overtime to try to do that. We were down in Haiti, it's been a few months back, and they were having their monsoon season, and we had gone in there, and they told us, there was another evangelist from out of the States had gone back in there, and he said it has rained with regularity every day that we've been here. And the natives told us, said, it has rained every day, and said, you will not have a meeting, said, it is going to rain, and said, when it rains, these people don't come out. I said, we're going to be here just 2 days, and it ain't going to rain, and we're going to have a meeting regardless of the season. We stayed there 2 days, and it didn't rain, and we had about 1,500 to 2,000 people, it turned out, and we had a meeting, and it didn't rain either night. So the Lord blessed us, and God is in control of the weather, and he is watching over everything. The devil is the prince of the powers of the air, and he gets in control of the situation, and he causes it to get too cold, or he causes it to get too hot, or he causes it to get stormy. You know, the Lord gives us the rain, and the Lord gives us the beautiful summer breeze, and God gives us the warm, nice sunshine, and he gives us the blessings of the wonderful atmosphere. But the devil, he's an extremist. He's always tearing up, twisting up, wrecking, and always just like the earthquake that hit Nigeria, I believe they said, or Algeria, was it? I can't remember which Algeria, I believe. 20,000 people it killed, and the devil is always causing problems. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I just don't believe the devil causes all them problems. I believe God does that. No, God has his way in it, but God doesn't do that. God's not the author of confusion. And besides that, if God does that, how is it the Bible says that in the great millennium reign, 1,000 years of peace, the Bible said Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and during that entire 1,000 years, there's not one disturbance, not one problem, not one war. There is no sicknesses, and the Bible said nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord. During all of that time, and the Bible said, they said to Lucifer when he went down into the bottomless pit, said, how is it that all of the earth is at peace since you've laid down? So he must have been the troublemaker, because it said all of the earth was at peace when he laid down. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like to read a little bit. And if you'd like to read with me, I'd like to mention some things tonight. Reading from the first verse, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, and neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flame and sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, I want to speak to you for just a few minutes on some things, and I'm so reluctant to start because of my subject tonight and because of it being cool in here, but I'm going to attempt to say some things, and if God doesn't want me to say them, then he can change me and send me in another direction, because he knoweth the hearts of men, and he knows whether you'll bear with me in the cool or whether you won't. But I want you to notice something here. The Bible says that God created a man and a woman. He created them in his likeness. He created the beautiful garden. He placed them in this garden. And there as he placed them in this garden, the Bible said that they had everything that heart could wish for. He created Eden, and then in the east part of Eden, he made this garden, and he placed man and woman, and there he placed the tree of life, and there he put the tree of knowledge. And he warned the man and woman that they should not partake of the tree of knowledge, but he told them that they could eat of any of the trees that was in the garden, even the tree of life, but they could not partake of the tree of knowledge. But it came to pass by and by that eventually the beast that God had placed in the garden enticed the woman, kept talking to the woman, and finally the woman began to listen. And the beast said, hath not God said that ye shall eat of all the trees of the garden? And the woman answered and said, God has said that we can eat of the fruit of all the trees, but we cannot eat of the tree of knowledge. For the day that we eat of the tree of knowledge, then we shall surely die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. If you eat of this tree, ye shall not surely die. Said God doth know that the day that you eat of this tree, that ye shall become wise, even as God, and ye shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, the devil, he knows how to tell a lie, don't he? The Bible said he's the father of a lie, and he knows how to tell a lie. And if you'll notice, he used just enough truth here to get her attention, and then he perverted it just enough to pull her down into the slime pit to where he could cause her to lose her life and cause her to cause her husband to lose his life, in that the Bible said the man was not in the transgression, but the woman being in the transgression. So then we see here, as she partook of the tree, that it called the fall from the garden. And they were excommunicated from the garden. God drove them out of the garden because the woman would not listen to God. I spoke the other night of how that it cut the lifeline off. Faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. And the word of God had spoken to Eve. And her lack of faith in the word of God had left her without life. And when she had carried this to her husband, the lack of faith and confidence from Adam in the word of God, in that he acted on what his wife had said, also cut him off from the life of God. And both of them found themselves being driven out of the presence of God and driven out from the garden. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of God, but it's a horrible thing to have known God's presence and then to be driven out of God's presence. Saul knew God's presence, but Saul was driven out of God's presence. And it was a horrible thing when he realized that he was out of the presence of God. And there's people today in the church that are out of the presence of God, and they are miserable because they're beginning to realize that the Spirit of God has departed from them. Now, this is the horrible experience. Brother, sister, while you have God, while you're in the presence of God, hold on to God with all of your heart. Don't sell your birthright, as did Esau, for a morsel of bread. Don't get interested in the world. Don't get carried away with money, fame, and popularity, the things of this world. Don't get carried away with conveniences, because the first news you know, you'll lose your birthright, and you'll find the Spirit of God having departed from you, and you'll find yourself exiled and cut off from the presence of God. And all of that wonderful life that you've been living, all of that wonderful exhilaration, all of that wonderful experience, all of that wonderful thrill that you've been having, it'll suddenly be gone, and you'll find that life is a burden. And you'll find there's oppression. You'll find there's a misery. And you'll find that everything begins to explode in your face. And all that you could have had, you'll find just vanishing away. You'll find that you can't have the blessings and prosperity of life that you'd hoped for. You can't have that feeling of life that you'd hoped for. Because when you withdraw from the Spirit of God, everything becomes dark. Everything becomes fearful, everything becomes a dread, and the whole environment of your life begins to change. This is what happened to Adam and Eve. The very minute that they went out of the presence of God, everything became drab. Everything became cold. Everything became indifferent. Everything began to be altogether different as to what it was in the garden. They begin to be exposed to poverty. They begin to be exposed to hardships. They begin to be exposed to sicknesses, and they begin to learn what life without God was really like, because they had always been in the presence of God. All they'd ever known was the conveniences of the garden. All they'd ever known was the blessings of God. But when they got out of the presence of God, then they begin to know how to appreciate God and appreciate the blessings of God. You know, sometimes God has to go to the extremes and put us out of the garden for a little while to make us learn to appreciate God and learn to appreciate the Word of God and learn the hardships of life, so that we'll look in the right direction for a change. Sometimes we get so careless that we forget God blesses us. God carries us on the wing, as we say. He takes care of us, and we just get downright careless. We get to where we don't pay any attention to any warnings. We don't pay any attention to any preaching. The preacher can preach. We don't pay any attention to it. The preacher can give a warning. We don't pay any attention to it. The word can come forth, but we feel like that's for somebody else. And we go carelessly along. And we do our wrongs and we do our misdemeanors in life. And we find ourselves drifting. But brother, all of a sudden we begin to wake up. And we find that God's Spirit is departing from us. God's Spirit is departing from us. And it is then and only then that we begin to cry out and say, my God, what have I done? My God, what have I done? You know, Judas obtained part of the ministry, and the Spirit of God was with Judas just like anybody else. The Spirit of God was present with Judas until that hour when Christ gave him the sop, and then the spirit of Satan entered into his heart. Isn't that right? And then God's Spirit and protection withdrawed from Judas. And then he realized how awful it was. Until that time, he had the blessings of God. He had the protection of God. The Bible said he had attained part of that ministry. He walked with the disciples. He was in the presence of the church. He was among the brethren. Life was a great thing to him. And he didn't take time to realize how great God had blessed him. All he could think about was getting another dollar. It didn't matter if he betrayed the church. It didn't matter if he betrayed Christ Jesus. It didn't matter what he'd done. He just wanted another dollar. A lot of people are in the same condition today. It doesn't matter if they take away from the poor, if they take away from the church like Ananias and Sapphira did, if they steal everything from the hungry and let the world go without food or whatever. That doesn't make any difference if they can just get another dollar, get a little more convenience, get another automobile, get another piece of land, get them a better home. It doesn't make any difference with them. They feel like they're in church and they've got God and they can still have all of these things. But all of a sudden, Judas woke up to the fact that God wasn't with him anymore. That God wasn't with him anymore. When he realized the thing that had taken place, when he realized what he had done, all of a sudden when he saw this horrible thing that he had done, all of the joy had left him. Christ was no more with him. The brotherhood was no more with him. He had his money. He had the thing that his heart was craving. But it didn't satisfy anymore. The longing for that wonderful touch of the great Holy Spirit was there. But Judas couldn't get to it. And the only thing he could figure out to do was to go out and hang himself and take his own life. It was the same thing with Gehazi. It was the same way with the little servant that followed after the prophet. He run after the world. He wanted Naaman. He wanted what Naaman had. He wanted the silver. He wanted the gold. He wanted the world. He wasn't satisfied being with the man of God. He wasn't satisfied having to suffer a few hardships and endure a few hardships so that he could have the great blessings of God. He wanted to run after the world. And when the man of God refused to take the things that Naaman had, why, he took in after the world. But it wasn't long before he suddenly realized that in obtaining the things of the world, you obtain the sorrow of the world. That to get the things of the world, the curse goes along with it. That there's a curse over the world. And when you get the things of the world without Christ, and you don't run the things of the world through the filter of God, then you bring the accursed thing into the house of God. You bring the accursed thing into your life. And the first news you know, God has cut you off, and you find yourself in the same condition that little servant found himself in. He had leprosy. You find yourself with cancer. You find yourself with TB. You find yourself with heart trouble. You find yourself with arthritis. You find yourself with poverty. You find yourself with problems. You find yourself in an insane asylum in a padded cell. You find your children going to prison. You find your wife turning into a prostitute. The first news you know, you wake up and find out you're a whoremonger. You find the Spirit of God withdrawing from you, and you find out that you're no good, that you lost out, and that everything that could have been good and decent, you lost it because you run after the world. I had a man since I've been here in Jeffersonville. He came to me about the first part of this meeting. He said, "Brother Pike, I one time had God. Said I one time had the blessings of God. Said the Spirit of God was in my life. I love God." He said, "But I let prosperity get in the way. Said God prospered me, and when prosperity came along, I forgot about God." He said, "And then when I forgot about God," he said, "it wasn't long before God withdrew from me." And he said, "I found myself with prosperity, but I found myself without God." And he told me how miserable and how wretched he was. And he said, "I'd love to get back to God. I'd love to find God." Said, "I realize what I've done." Did you know Esau done the very same thing? The Bible said after that Esau had sold his birthright, he searched for it with bitter tears. He sought repentance with bitter tears. But the Bible said he found no place of repentance. Though he cried and though he wept, and he asked for his birthright back, but he could not get his birthright back. Brother, once you lose your birthright, once you do the things contrary to God, once you go contrary to God and you lose your birthright, there's no way to get it back. The Bible said, "Hold fast, let no man take your crown." Did you know there's somebody else that can take your crown? When God's called you to do something and you don't do it, did you know there's somebody else that can take your crown? Did you know that? There's somebody else that'll step up and take your place and take your crown. There was a woman of the Old Testament. God called a man to do a certain thing. The man was afraid. The man wouldn't do it. The man doubted God and doubted the word that he sent to him. The woman stepped forth and said, "Give me a chance to do it." And God said, "You go do it." And the woman went and done it. And God gave her the man's crown. So then we see the awfulness of losing out with God. This is the thing that took place with Adam and Eve. Thank you, brother. The thing that took place with Adam and Eve. The Bible said, "Lay aside the weights." I get the coat off, I feel better. Hallelujah. The thing that happened to Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. They did not listen to the Lord. All of a sudden, once they sinned against God, there came the voice of the Lord God in the evening time. And the Lord said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam said, "Lord, I hid myself. I was afraid." And the Lord said, "Why was you afraid, Adam?" He said, "Because I was naked." And the Lord said, "Adam, who told thee that I was naked? Hast thou dishonored me? Hast thou disobeyed me? Have you done the thing that I ask you not to do, Adam? Haven't you listened to my word? Haven't you honored my word? Didn't you do the thing I commanded you to do? Who told you that you were naked, Adam?" And Adam said, "We were naked. We were afraid. And so we hid ourselves." And here they had gotten over here. They had taken them some leaves and they had made them some clothing. And they had tried to cover up their nakedness. You know what it was? They felt the shame. They felt the shame. You know what had happened to them? They had lost that wonderful nearness of God. They'd lost that closeness with God. They'd left that fellowship with God. They felt separated from God. They felt a condemnation set in. They felt a shame come over them. Why were they naked? Why did they feel like they were naked? According to the Bible, when God made man and woman, they were without clothing in the garden. They were not ashamed. They did not have to have fig leaves, nor clothing. They did not have dirty, filthy minds. They were not abased in their thinking. They were not depraved. They were not evil. What was it? They had lost, as we have said many times, the covering of his glory. They had taken away the covering of his glory. He told them in the Old Testament, he said, "You cover with a covering, but not of me. You cover with a covering, but not of me." You know, the Bible gives the woman her hair for her covering. She is the type of the church. So God gives her her hair and tells her that her hair is her glory. He likes for the hair to be down upon the shoulders because it's typical of the government of God. The government of the head, her husband, his government, his power, his authority. Christ, the head of the church, resting upon the shoulders of the church. That covering. But like the church in the dark age, they'd shave their heads. They'd shave their hair off. They'd shave their covering off. They'd shave their glory off. Then they'd become a nun. Then they'd put a covering over their head. They'd put a veil over their head. Why did they do that? They had lost the covering that God had given them. They had lost the covering that God had given them. And so they put a man-made covering over their heads. That was the same thing that Jesus told them. When he came, he said, you do teach for doctrine the commandments of men, and you lay aside the doctrine of Christ. Isn't that right? He warned them. He said, I'll take out the heart of stone in that day and place within you a heart of flesh and write my laws upon the table of your heart and cause you to walk in my laws. Did you know that when Moses gave him that stone, that was a table of stone. That was a heart of stone. That was the law. By that came death. But when God manifested his word of grace, he made it flesh. It came down as flesh and bones and became a heart of flesh. And he has given us that which is of grace at Calvary, that we can have a heart of grace, a heart of flesh, that this law can be written in our conscience and in our heart. That covering of man, he said, you teach the doctrine of men, laying aside the commandments of God, and make the commandments of God of none effect. And so the woman praying and prophesying, having her head uncovered, she dishonored her head. That is to say, if a woman have her head uncovered, she dishonored her husband. If she have her head uncovered, that is to say, if she doesn't have the covering of God's glory, if the church doesn't have the covering of God, the glory of God, then she doth honoreth Christ. And the covering of the church is the brightness of his glory. The covering of the church tonight is the brightness of his glory. Adam and Eve was in the presence of the brightness of that glory. They lived in the presence of that Shekinah glory. And that Shekinah glory was all about them. And the Bible said when John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos in the midst of the candlesticks, that he was illuminated. And it was as though the sun shined within his strength because he had a covering from God. They had a covering, a divine covering, and they were not ashamed. It was the covering of God. It was the covering of God's glory. God has covered the church with the glory. They have a covering. God has given them a covering. But Adam and Eve had strayed from that covering. They had strayed from that Shekinah covering. They'd gotten away from the Shekinah glory of God. They'd walked out of the presence of that eternal life that God had placed them in. They had been enticed by their reasoning, had left off with the word of God and went after their own understanding. They had turned to the beastly part, the bodily part, that which was coming from the dust. And he said, when the expulsion came and he drove them out of the garden, he said, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. And then he turned to him and said, as a serpent I put thee upon thy belly, and upon thy belly shalt thou go all the days of thy life, and dust shalt thou eat. I made mention the other night that when you look around and see the world tonight, you know where the serpent is, eating and drinking on their belly, all of their labors for their belly. The Bible said all of their labors for their belly because their belly craves it of them. The serpent has been placed on his belly. And then God picked up Abraham and gave him the sign of circumcision. I want to look at it for just a minute tonight. I wish we had time to preach it, but I know we don't. So then here, the covering of the glory was gone. Here Adam and Eve had been driven out of the garden. They couldn't stay in the presence of the Shekinah anymore. The great, wonderful brightness of his glory had been taken away. Here comes God, and God said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I was ashamed. Why was he ashamed? He said, because we were naked. That could not have been the reason he was ashamed. That could not have been the reason for being ashamed. Because he was naked to begin with and was not ashamed. He was naked to begin with and was not ashamed. So that could not have been the problem. What was it? That wasn't what it was. Something had happened to his heart. Something had happened to his heart. His eyes had been opened. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that's what we mean. His eyes came open and he saw that he was naked. My brother, sister, if he had any eyes in his head at all, he could look at his wife and his wife at him and tell they didn't have any clothing. His eyes was already open. He didn't have to have anybody to open his eyes for him to look and see that they were without clothing. But the Bible said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What had happened, he had eaten from a tree of knowledge. The eyes of understanding had been opened is what it was. That's what it was. He had partook from a tree of knowledge, entered into another dimension, a dimension of darkness. And he had looked and he had seen the shame and debauchery of what he had done. He had not seen the nakedness of his wife, nor the nakedness of his own body as the flesh. He had seen the nakedness of his soul and of his spirit. He had seen the wretchedness of what he had done. And that natural part of it coming to his understanding and being exposed only made him to realize the condition that they were in. So he immediately went and began to sow fig leaves. You know why he went to fig leaves? Because God had made a covenant with him. It was the water covenant. They could eat of all of the fruits of the trees. You know, there's three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit. And there's the water life and the life of that vegetation or world of vegetation. It has to have water because that is the lifeline of it. There's the world of human anatomy or a physical being in the earth, a beast realm in the earth. And it has to have blood because the lifeline of human anatomy is blood. But there is also an angelic realm, a spiritual realm. And the lifeline of that angelic realm is spirit. And it causes God to have to make a covenant with this natural world. It causes him to have to make a covenant with the physical world. It causes him to have to make a covenant with the spiritual world. And whatever world we are in, we are affected by the covenant that God has made with that world. And Adam and Eve was in that natural world of water. And they had a covenant. All they had to do was eat of the fruit. And the fruit lived from the water. That's all they had to do. And when they fell from the presence of God, all they thought they had to do was run and get a covering. Because they thought they had broke the covenant. So they grabbed them some fig leaves. And God said, no, that won't do. That won't do. That covenant won't work anymore. You can't do that anymore. It wasn't caused by fruit. It wasn't a fruit tree that you eat from. It was a tree of knowledge that you partook from. It wasn't a fruit tree, but it was a beast realm. You listened to a beast and a beast enticed you. You brought yourself down to a beast realm. You brought yourself to a level of blood. And from now on, if you get any strength, you're going to have to get it from eating meat. How do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to have to get your strength from eating meat. The Bible said the meat is for the strong. You're going to have to get your strength from eating meat. You're going to have another covenant made with you. Because as long as you're in this garden and you partake of these trees and you're under the presence of the Shekinah, I am your strength, the Shekinah glory, the power of my might. You can be strong in my spirit. But when you separated yourself from my strength, then you've got to go on your own strength. You can't live off of water. You try living off of water and see if you can stay alive. There's no way. So then they had to have another covenant. And it wasn't until 2,000 years had passed by that God brought another covenant in the days of Noah when he drove those beasts into the ark. And after the old world had passed away to show the sin of Adam, he established a new world. And in that new world, he told them, said, you can eat the flesh of animals. And he gave them the blood covering. And from Abraham all the way down to Jesus, it started there with Abraham sacrificing a lamb to God. It ended with a human sacrifice. And they were under the blood covering all the way down. Because that first water covering there that started with the garden reached all the way down to Noah. Brother, then from there the blood covering started with Noah and reached all the way down to Jesus. But I'm glad today in this third thing that God has done, that he has established another covenant with his people. For they have violated the blood covenant, and they cannot no longer be carried by the blood covenant. For the blood is diseased. It's filled with cancer. And blood can no longer take care of them anymore. For they are in violation even of that realm. They become worse than beast. Wherever there's a knowledge, there's a sin. Wherever there's a sin, there's a transgression. Wherever there's a transgression, there is a penalty of death. And wherever there's death, there has to be a new instigation of life and a new covenant. And here we are over here with the Holy Ghost being poured out. Here we are in a new thing, the move of the Spirit. God has made a covenant with us, a spiritual covenant. It's not a covenant with the world. It's not a covenant with the beast. It's a covenant with the angels. For the Bible said in heaven we are all as angels. And the Bible teaches that when we are dead, the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. And that we are to reckon ourselves to be dead by the body of Jesus unto sin. Therefore our spirits are hid with Christ in God. And in that realm we are angelic beings. And we fellowship the angels. And we have a covenant that's made with the angels. The Bible said it's ordained in the hands of a mediator, and that by angels. So then we stand here today with a new covenant. A covenant that cannot be broken this time. This is the covenant that cannot be broken this time. It is a spiritual covenant. There's three that bear witness in the earth. The water, the blood, the Spirit. My brother, tonight, this great spiritual covenant that we got with God has caused us to put aside the veil. This is what Abraham saw. The covering of God's glory. It's the covering of God's glory. The Shekinah glory that was taken away from Adam and Eve. God has restored it in Christ. He has given us that same great light. That same great life. That same great Spirit. It has been replaced. It has come back to us. Christ, the quickening Spirit. Not that we are in the presence of it, as I said the other night, but brother, we are born of it. As long as I am in the presence of the sunlight, it can go out. Or I may could walk in the house out of the presence of it. But brother, if it's the sun shining within my strength, as John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, it cannot go out, neither can I walk out of the presence of it. Because it is part of me, it is incorporated in my life. I am in it and it is in me. So then this great life is in me. I am born to the Shekinah glory of God. So then we have this new covenant tonight. The covenant of his glory. God picked Abraham up. Gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. And said, Abraham, this is the seal of your faith. Paul brings it out in his writing. This is the seal of your faith. The sign of circumcision is the seal of your faith. Because God gave faith to Abraham before the law ever come. 430 years before the law ever come, God justified the heathens by faith. God's plan has always been faith. Man wants to be justified by the law. But the man that got the revelation said, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Show them the law and the prophets till John. Since that time, Christ has been preached. The kingdom of God has been preached. That which is old is folded up and then laid away. Therefore, the bruising, when somebody sinned in the Old Testament, they stoned him to death. Why did they stone him? Because it was said, when the serpent was driven out of the garden, thou shalt bruise his head. It was the stone out that was to be hewed out of the mountain that was to bruise his head. When that old sinful head of that evil one under the law sinned, they stoned him to death. When the sign of circumcision was given, there was a stone, a rugged stone that was used to move the foreskin because it indicated the moving of the death veil or the foreskin, because the Bible taught that that was the removing of the veil of death that had replaced the covering of God's glory. Therefore, it is a true fact that wherever Christ was seen, it was always the bruising of the head. When he went to Calvary, it showed the bruising of the head when the thorns were set upon his head. What was it for? It was the unveiling of Christ. Look at the veil that was over Moses. What was it? Moses showed the serpent. When Moses went to deliver the children of Israel, he showed the serpent, because the first thing he'd done, he grabbed a stick and God gave him the sign of the serpent, and down into Egypt he went. Isn't that right? Why was that? Because he had to do with the law, and the law had to do with knowledge, and knowledge had to do with the tree of death, because the law shows the tree of knowledge. For the Bible said, by the law comes the knowledge of sin and death. Isn't that right? It is the knowledge of sin and death. I was alive without the law, but when the law came, sin revived and I died. And that which was ordained in the life, I found to be unto death. Is that right? So then we see it symbolized in the wilderness, there lifted up as the serpent, Moses. You say, but Brother Pike, that represented Jesus. I know it represented Jesus, for he said, your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And everyone that looked at that serpent was healed. But why was they healed? Because Jesus later was to come as a serpent. Jesus was to be made sin. He was to come in the image of the serpent. He was to come in the image of sinful man and be made like unto the image of the sinful serpent. That is, in the image of the sinful man, which is the flesh of sin. Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I hate the garments that's spotted by the flesh. Corruptible flesh. What is it? John called them a generation of vipers. That's what it is. Where was the head of that serpent? Where was the head of that serpent? It started with Adam. Adam was the head of that serpent. It started back there with Adam. That's where the head of the serpent was. You say, Brother Pike, how do you get that? If you listen just a minute, I'll tell you how we get that. When Adam was, you say, Adam was the son of God. The Bible said Adam was the son of God. It does say Adam was the son of God. It says Jesus was the son of God also, didn't it? But it said Jesus was made sin too, didn't it? And so was Adam made sin too. When God created Adam, he created him in the image of God. And as long as the Shekinah glory was over Adam, he was in the image of God. But when he lost the image of God, he lost the covering of God's glory. For the covering of God's glory is the image of Christ. That's what the covering of the glory is. That's why when the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation of the garment, he said, if any man come in here without the wedding garment, he'll be cast out, bound hand and feet. He said, I want you to bring me that garment that was tried in the fire. We know that was the body of Jesus that went into the chambers of hell. Isn't that right? When you put on that garment, he said, bring me that garment. I counsel of you to give me that garment that was tried in the fire down there. I won't have any other garment but that. He said, if you come in here in your own righteousness, not having the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you come in here without the covering of his glory. If you come in here with your own righteousness, I'll bind your hand and feet and cast you into the outer darkness. Isn't that right? That's the reason so many people are bound with evil spirits today. It's because at this very hour that we're living in, they're just as religious as they can be and just a great big bunch of hypocrites. Somebody say amen. And the devils and demons are binding them hand and feet because they're not going in at the door. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the door. And he said, if you get in this religious realm any other way, they'll bind you hand and feet. That's why the church world is in trouble. You need to live right. You need to talk right. You need to act right. You need to think right. You need to get right. And you'll get rid of devils and demons and all the sicknesses and problems that's plaguing your life. All right, let's look at it just a little more. So Abraham, I'll give you the sign of circumcision. For when Adam eat of that tree, over Adam come the veil of death. The old executioners, they used to, if they was going to put you down at the guillotine, they pulled the veil of death over you. When the veil of death come over you, it meant you lost your head. Isn't that right? Did you notice that that's what they done to John? Did you know that's what they done to John? You know why? Because the law and the prophets came until John, and God done away with that head, and he brought us a new head called the head, Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. Isn't that right? And that old death veil that come down there, that old death veil that settled down over them when they would go to the guillotine, it indicated that the headship was missing. If that veil of death is over you, it means that your head is missing. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? God said, turn my people from darkness unto light, Paul. It means that if you've got intellectual reasoning, if you're following after worldly education, if you're following after the powers of your own understanding, leaning to your own powers of ingenuity, you've got a dark veil over you. To be carnally minded is death. That is a veil of death. You've got the head of the serpent. You've got the mind of the serpent. And you've got the have that thing taken off. The only one way to do it. How is that? The sign of the circumcision. The little stone hewed out of the mountain. Taking away the foreskin of that dark veil. Getting it away before the executioner gets to you. All right. Now then, when we see this, we get a beautiful picture of what God's done. Look how this thing comes on down in the day that we're living in. Look at the pilgrims as they move from the east, moving westward. Look what a beautiful picture it was in the old wagon train. All right, listen. As they moved across the dusty desert going westward, the ribs of those covered wagons as they moved along in a great chain reaction. You listening? As they rolled and rattled across the trail, going across that dusty trail, the tongue of the old wagon just a going down between the horses. I've driven a team of horses, and that's just the way it goes. Isn't that right? When they'd get out there in the dust, what happened? About the time those Indians come down out of the rocks, those Indians come sweeping down out of the rocks. Here comes an arrow flying down through there. And what happens? That old snake would make a call. She'd curl up. Isn't that right? You know what happened? They'd reach and get it, and they'd call that lead poisoning. You know what I'm saying? How do you understand what I'm saying? You know what them Indians represented coming out of them rocks? Them eagles. You ever seen them do the eagle dance? Put the feathers on the arm, put the feathers on their head, put the feathers on their feet coming out of the rock, coming down with them arrowheads and flint heads, bruising the head of that serpent that was eating that dust down there. And he'd curl up and begin to spit back at him. You understand what I'm saying? God working all things after the counsel of his own will to show us that in the day of the judgment we are going to be guilty before God because the heavens declare his handiwork. The earth is full of his glory. Everywhere we look it testifies of him. So then when we see these things, God giving Abraham the sign, the seal of the faith, looking at Rebekah. Here we see the man going down to the well. picking up the woman, the servant of Abraham, there in the evening time, picking up this woman for the son Isaac. We see her coming across this hot desert. See the 10 camels coming across there. Here they come back to the homeland. But did you notice the first thing she does is put that veil over her face? The very same thing that Moses done. Now, why is that? The Bible said the woman is supposed to be shamefaced. Why is it that God let the woman eat from the tree of knowledge? Because the church is supposed to be shamefaced in the presence of God. Because the world is eat from the tree of knowledge, it's supposed to be shamefaced in the presence of God. It's got a veil of death over it. So she pulled that veil of death down over her because she was getting close to Isaac. Isn't that right? No boldness of faith. It was a covering of death. The woman had to wear the veil because she indicated the body. She was the one that was in the transgression, not the man. It's not Christ in the transgression, it's the woman in the transgression. And there the veil was over her. And here she come. And you see her coming across the desert, and you get a beautiful picture. I wish we had time to go into it tonight, but we don't have time to go into it. But there she was in the evening time, a virgin that came out to draw the water. God had sent his servant Eliezer down there to get that woman. And here she come. She watered them 10 camels because she knew them 10 camels was going to take her across that desert. Now then, when you think about the commandments of God, God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. Them 10 camels represented them 10 commandments that Jesus said, I'm not going to break the law, but love fulfills the law, and you'll fulfill the commandments of God in your heart. And she watered them camels because she knew them camels was going to take her across that hot desert. And brother, when she got on the other side with that veil over her face, just as quick as she saw Isaac, she jumped down and she ran to Isaac. And the Bible said that veil was over her face when he took her into the mother's chamber. Then he lifted the veil. Then he lifted the veil. It's when God gives us the spirit of revelation. It's when we enter into the secret places with God. It's when God gets us in the spirit on the Lord's day like John was. Then God lifts his old carnal mind and the soul veil of death. To be carnally minded is death. It's then that God rips that thing off and we see him face to face, and we don't see through that old glass darkly. We don't see through that old intellectual reasoning anymore. That old veil of death comes off, and we see him just like he is. Hallelujah. And we see him face to face. Why? Because he promised to do that. He promised to do that. Joseph rent off that old veil. He left it in the hands of the woman. Jesus rent off that old body. That old body that was the veil covering the Shekinah glory called Christ. He rent it off and left it in the hands of that world, which was the harlot, and that inner Christ went down into the heart of the earth, preached to them souls in prison, and come out in the brightness of the glory of God. Isn't that right? He pulled the veil off at Calvary. He hung it up there and he said, I done rent that thing in twain. Somebody say amen. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said in the book of Acts, I believe it is, said he made in himself twain. He made in himself two. Jesus made in himself twain. He made in himself two, both Lord and Christ. And at Calvary, you know what he did? He separated the Lord from the Christ, which means he rent them in two. He rent the veil in two. He separated the Lord from the Christ, the body from the spirit, so that my body could be considered dead in the sight of God, buried in a watery grave in the name of the Lord, and my spirit could go back to God who gave it, to be hid with Christ and be spotless until the day of the resurrection. So then God doesn't see my body anymore. It's dead by the body of Jesus, buried in that water baptism out there. And I am an angelic being today that's in heaven. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man who was in heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven, I've made you set together in heavenly places. You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death, chose you out of this world, and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restitution or the restoring of all things. And the Bible said, ye that are in heaven, rejoice. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. Ye that are not inhabiting the body tonight. Satan savors the thing of the flesh. Satan savors the thing of the body. Those that live in the world, woe unto you. For Lucifer is among you. For God's casting him out of the spirit. But you that are in the spirit, you that dwell in heaven, rejoice, my brother. For now has come strength. Now has come power. God's moving the death veil. He's taking the death veil away. How many of you know this old body ain't nothing but a death veil? That's all it's good. It's for the skin worms to eat it. Isn't that right? It's just a death veil. It's just a tomb. But Christ is rolling the stone away. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I wish we had time to really get into it tonight. How do you understand? So then we see God tonight telling us that we're not time creatures. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of this death, I walk through this valley. I'm under the cloud of this veil, and I walk through this valley. Oh, my brother, he said, I walk through this valley. He said, but I'm not afraid of evil. I'm not afraid of evil. Did you know when God looks down from heaven, this whole world is a valley? And did you know there's a veil of death over it that's called Satan, that's between heaven and earth? And David said, lo, I walk beneath the shadow of this veil of death. I walk beneath the shadow of the veil of this death. Is that right? But he said, there's a rod and a staff called the word and the spirit, and they're my comforters. They're my comforters. I won't fear no evil because the word and the spirit comforts me. How do you know the Bible said the Holy Ghost is a comforter? Isn't that right? How do you know Jesus said my words are life and spirit? Is that right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff that covered me. Hallelujah. And thou preparest this table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So then here we are, free from the veil of death. Now you got just a few more minutes. There's some things I need to say. I know I ain't going to get to say them, but I want to say just a few more things and we're going to close. Now let's just look at it for just a minute. Look at the Old Testament. The three covenants that we spoke of there. There, hanging over the tabernacle, there was a pillar of fire. Not a fire, but day. It was a cloud, but day. It was a fire, but night. Isn't that right? It was a cloud, but day. Only a fire, but night. Why was it a fire, but night? Because of the veil of death. How do you understand what I'm saying? As long as you are a sinner, the whole world is covered with darkness. For gross darkness covers the people. Intellectual reasoning covers the people. But in the evening time, I'm going to send some light. For great light has sprang up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. Here is darkness over all the land. You understand what I'm saying? From the sixth to the ninth hour. And then the veil was rent. When he cried, here there is a pillar of fire hanging over the tabernacle. Why is it a pillar of fire? Because fire represents blood. And they were under the blood covering. They were offering blood in the days of Moses. The life is in the blood. It had to be blood. They were under the covering of the blood. As long as you are a sinner, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers you. That is all you've got, is the grace of God through the blood. For he sanctifies us by the blood. And brother, it can become a consuming fire. God, who is a spirit, called himself the power of burning. In the fiery indignation of the blood of his son. If you disobey the Lord Jesus Christ. So then it is a pillar of fire. If it's in the night, it is a pillar of fire. But brother, we are Christians. We don't need a pillar of fire. What we need is a pillar of cloud. How do you understand what I'm saying? We've already had the blood atonement. When we were born again, we received the blood atonement. that was over our tabernacle. Peter said, as long as I'm in his tabernacle, put it over the doorpost. And there it was over the tabernacle in the wilderness. Which tabernacle? We say this body in this intellectual wilderness where the serpents are. And the pillar of fire hanging over it to get them out of Egypt. To get them out of Egypt. To try to get them into Canaan. But what we need is a pillar of cloud. You say, what is a pillar of cloud? The daylight children. He said, you're not children of the night, but you're children of the day. And it was a cloud by day. It's supposed to be the Holy Ghost by day. It's supposed to be a cloud by day. What is it? Not a fiery indignation of the wrath of God that burns its way through the enemy wedge in war. But it's supposed to be that wonderful caressing spirit of Almighty God, the cloud of the refreshing of His rain upon our grounds to bring forth a harvest. It's the great spirit of the Holy Ghost. For I say again, the last covenant He made was a spiritual covenant. That second part was the pillar of fire. But that last part was spirit. So then it's obvious that all of them was there. For the Bible said they were both baptized in the Red Sea unto Moses and into the cloud. So we see the baptism there into the water of the Red Sea. We see the pillar of fire and we see the cloud, which is water, blood, and spirit. All of them being there. But it was by day when Joshua took them over Jordan, over into Canaan land. What did they do? You don't find that pillar of fire around anymore there. Why? Because it was a different age, my brother and sister. How do you understand what I'm saying? What is the Jordan? How do you understand that we need to get over the Jordan? The Bible said to be carnally minded is Jordan. To be carnally minded is Jordan. How do you know that all them natural things happen for a type back there? That God is a spirit and He used natural things to program your natural mind so that He could give you a spiritual understanding? How do you know that when a teacher's trying to teach you something, that He'll give you a natural two and two so that you can find an unseen four? How do you know that He'll give you a natural six and six so that you can find the unseen 12? God has given you a natural formula to program your mind so that you can find the invisible answer, which is the Spirit of God. Isn't that right? You've got to get over the Jordan. What is the Jordan? Your own understanding, your reasoning, the love of the world. You've got to cross over that old death veil. And brother, when you get over the death veil, you're over in Canaan. What is Canaan? The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Get in the mind of Christ. Brother, when you get in the mind of Christ, you've got something. For the Bible said you recognize that God has chosen you out of this world and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And you realize you're sitting in heavenly places and you begin to see heavenly things and you begin to eat from a heavenly table and you begin to enjoy the heavenly environment. Elijah said, open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw the great fellowship of God that that prophet had with the angels. In heaven, we're all as the angels. Folks, we're living far beneath our privilege tonight. Isn't that right? You know why the church hasn't gone over sooner? God offered it to them, but they mumble and grumble against the ministry and against the elders until finally God had let them wander around in their intellectual PhD seminary teaching till just about all of the elders have died out and God's beginning to raise up the children and take them into Canaan. You know, on the earth, there has to be a natural type of every spiritual thing. Isn't that right? See them going around popping these needles in them? They're taking a trip. It's the age of taking a trip. How many of you like to take a trip? Hallelujah. Somebody said, I want to get high. All you got to do is come up here where I'm at. You love Jesus? Praise God. You know, the Bible said the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintels. He's got into the high places, but he didn't go through the door. And the Bible said when the man child goes up there, he's going to bind him and he's going to have war in heaven and Michael and the man child's going to cast him out. Isn't that right? Cast him out of the earth. Hallelujah. You know what that means? Let me say just a few more things and I promise you I'll close. I got to leave tomorrow night. So let me say just a few more things right hurriedly. You know what that means? Revelation 12. When he cast his Lucifer out of heaven, That means the blood has come off the mercy seat. How do you know that when that angel went over there to that little golden altar and dropped those coals in that little censer, throwed it into the earth, that that was the blood coming off the mercy seat? The Bible said 30 minutes of silence in heaven, and then there was earthquakes and everything. The church had been raptured in Revelation 4. What was it? They stood there in awe. Everything in heaven and in earth just stood there. Couldn't say nothing because the blood was coming off the mercy seat. You know what it was? When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, Lucifer goes out. Why does Lucifer go out? Now listen, be spiritual for just a few minutes. Why does Lucifer go out? Because he's the red dragon. He's the red dragon. What is the red dragon? John said the generation of vipers. Lucifer is a spirit, a fallen angel that lived in a human bloodstream. The serpent is human beings, like a jointed snake, a many-membered body of the beast. Where are they at? The Bible said he was cast out of heaven. Where's that snake at? He's in heaven. I know I'll get a repercussion from this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Just hold on. Don't leave me. Just for a minute. Where is he at? He's in heaven. He's climbed up into the upper limb. Brother Pike, you mean to tell me these people running around here in America's in heaven? They're in heaven. I told you. I told you, didn't I? They're in heaven. Now I know you've done it, Brother Pike. All right, let me tell you something. You go to hell and look back up here and see if he wasn't in heaven. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Go to hell and make the comparison with this and see if you wasn't in heaven all the time. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir, it's heaven. It's heaven, my brother. Not only heaven, but it's the second heaven. There's the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. Old brother Paul said he was caught up to the third one. Old Lucifer never has gotten up into the third one, but he sure got into the second one. When you can have medical aid and every time you get a toothache, run to a dentist, that's heaven. You just wait till the tribulation. The Bible said there'll be no healing medicines. And you have to suffer in pain. Then you won't be in heaven anymore. And you'll learn the difference between heaven and not being in heaven. It's a second heaven. That's what it is. And not only that, but Revelation 12 said that woman was in heaven too. Did you know that? And the Bible said Lucifer went out of heaven. But it didn't say that woman went out of heaven, did it? It just said she went into a wilderness. How did she go into a wilderness while she was in heaven? It didn't say she was cast out of heaven. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, you explain to me now if you want to tell me I'm wrong. How did she go into the wilderness when the Bible said she was in heaven? Is that right? The Bible said Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Are you listening? And he went after her. How in the world did he do that? How was it they were in the same place? Yeah, they were in the same place. She went into the wilderness, he went after her. Yet she was in heaven and he wasn't in heaven. He had done been excommunicated, cast out. How could that be? It can't be, Brother Pike. Jesus said, Nicodemus, knowest not those things. You're standing over there in one place and I'm standing in another. The Son of Man who was in heaven and who is in heaven. Sitting together in heavenly places. You understand what I'm saying? While the world's sitting in Jeffersonville places. You love Jesus? I'm telling you the truth. This is absolutely the Word of God. This is absolutely the Word of God. There's no playing about this, my brother. I know that of which I speak. You're farther down the trail than you think you are. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spiritual, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't. Let's be spiritual tonight because we're way down the trail, a lot farther than it seemed like we are. There was a second heaven. What was it? Lucifer was cast out. What does it mean Lucifer was cast out? It meant that he could no longer remain a hidden spirit. Lucifer is a hidden spirit. It means he had to come out in Revelation 12 and personify himself in a human being. That's why in Revelation 13, he suddenly come up out of the waters as a man, as a beast. John saw him come up out of the waters as a beast because he couldn't stay in the spirit any longer. That's why the Bible said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Because he was excommunicated from the spirit, he had to personify himself to where everybody could see who he was and what he was. He had to take on a human form. He could no longer hide in the spirit. Why? Because as long as the blood is on the mercy seat, Satan can hide behind the veil. And when the sons of God come into the presence of God, the sons of Satan can come too. The children of the devil can come too. And Satan can hide behind the veil. And when the children of God walk into the presence of God, as in the days of Job back there, Lucifer can come too. God said, where you been? Going to and fro in the earth. He can come right into the presence of God because God has given life to that briar, just like he has that wheat. Are you listening? I'm going to close in a few minutes now. But Satan, as long as there's blood on the mercy seat, it means that blood has right to heavenly places. It means that blood life can stay in the presence of God. The days of grace is heaven. The days of grace is heaven. The Old Testament is one heaven. The New Testament is another heaven. The book of Revelation and the revelation of Jesus Christ is another heaven. There's a one heaven and a two heaven and a three heaven. And maybe tomorrow night we'll get to bring a little bit out on the three heavens. But I want you to know something. In the second heaven, he was excommunicated when the blood come off of the mercy seat. No more blood life could be in grace. The days of grace was over. No more heaven to blood life. No more heaven to blood life. They were in the earth then. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because he is among you. When grace is over, the spirit is lifted, heaven is over, there's no more heaven. But brother, let me tell you something. Wherever God is, it's heaven. God is the spirit of heaven. Did you know that? Did you know in the millennium that's going to be the earth? The same earth that you're walking on? God's just going to move the bride and it's going to be heaven. Did you know where Adam and Eve was? It's the same earth that you're walking on, but it was heaven. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, go there and check the river's Pison. Check the river Euphrates and see if it's still over there. The head of it comes out of the garden. It's still there. Now, and the Bible said when the new earth comes down, or when the new earth comes forth, new Jerusalem is coming down. Heaven's going to be on the earth, my brother and sister. Wherever God is. You understand what I'm saying? So then let's get spiritual and realize what God's doing. The blood is coming off of the mercy seat. And it's on the verge of coming off right now. And when it comes off, the days of the Gentiles will be over. And just as quick as them Jews accept Christ over there, there won't be any more blood atonement on the mercy seat. The end of the Gentile days is near. We got a tape back home where we preached the sermon, The End of the Days of the Gentiles, and brought it out on tape showing the end of the days of the Gentiles, where it ends and what causes it. But I say to you tonight, the second heaven has been defiled. The first heaven has been defiled. But there's a third heaven that you and I are going to. And the Bible said when that woman gave birth to that child, he was immediately caught up to the throne to that third heaven that had not been defiled. Hallelujah. Isn't that why, right? And the angels had a war in that second heaven. And when they got through, then God purged that second heaven. Is that right? Maybe tomorrow night we'll mention something about Revelation 10 and those thunders over there in Revelation 10 and look a little bit and see why it was a thundering like it was. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me tonight. There's a lot of things I'd like to say, but I know that we're involving too much tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Hallelujah. There's some people here that's in heaven tonight. You know who they are? Them that's got the sun shining within their strength. Them that's born of the Shekinah that's got the seal of their faith. Them that's got the covering of his glory, which is the image of Christ. How many of you tonight's in his image? You say, Brother Pike, am I really in his image? Not in your first birth. You're in the image of that old serpent in your first birth, that beast. Jesus come to kill that thing and do away with it. But in that second birth, we're born in his image. We're born in his image. And did you know just as quick as we're born, we're caught up to the throne? How do you know that Christ in you, the hope of glory, that second man from glory? And did you know that the kingdom of heaven's on the inside? And just as quick as he was born down at the altar or wherever he was born, he was caught up to the Spirit of God inside. Your spirit, just as quick as it was born, was caught right up to the throne of God inside the kingdom of heaven in you. Did you know that that little spiritual child was caught right up to the throne of God just as quick as it was born? The Bible said, for God hath translated that little child into the marvelous kingdom of its God. Did you know that? And did you know he's given to him the word and the power of ruling and authority to rule with a rod of iron? The manifestation of the sons of God is coming. Did you know that? Hallelujah. He caught him up to the throne. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. You say, Brother Pike, I'm waiting on the rapture. I tell you what you do. You read the book of John. It says the revelation of St. John the Divine. Then it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him or to the angel to show to the servant. You follow me? All right, now, I want you to think this over. It is in that revelation that it said he comes with clouds. It's right there when it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does the revelation of Jesus Christ mean? The unveiling of the Christ. The revealing of the Christ. The coming of the Christ. That he cometh with clouds. He cometh with clouds. Brother, sister, I want you to know one thing tonight. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of the Lord. And you say we're waiting for the rapture. I want you to know the revelation of Jesus Christ is the translation of the church. It's from glory to glory by the transformation of your mind that you are moving from dimension to dimension. And when God gets that church right in this message and the last one steps in and everything is set in order, that'll be it. That'll be it. And that sun shining from within the strength will cause that old outer image to fade away into nothing, and there he'll stand. The Bible said, and he shall suddenly appear within his saints. How do you understand now? He shall suddenly appear within you. Christ within you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God within you. And he shall suddenly appear within his saints. Is that right? Amen. Within his saints. He shall suddenly appear within his saints to make all the world come and kneel at your feet to let them know that he hath loved you. Amen. All right. Let all the world keep silent. You're the temple of God and he's in his temple. What a beautiful salvation. What a beautiful thing. The world will never see it. They're not supposed to. But beloved, we must see it. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. For having eyes to see, they see natural things, but they see not spiritual things. Having ears to hear, they hear natural sounds, but they hear not spiritual things. So then, lest they should convert in their heart, then hear. God will give them ears to hear and eyes to see. But the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you can comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length. Now, are you listening? How have you got a single eye tonight? The Bible said if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Isn't that right? You know what that means? You can't be double-minded. Your eye is understanding. Understanding, you can have two kinds, yours and of the devil. That old carnal understanding, Christ is. But you can't be double-minded. A single understanding, a single eye. If you just have the mind of Christ, one eye of understanding. If your eye be single, the mind of Christ, your whole body will be full of light. It'll be full of light, my brother, sister. You love Jesus? All right. We love you tonight. We're glad to be here and say some little things to help you and encourage you in the work of the Lord. Let's just slip our hands up and love Jesus for just a moment now. May the good Lord bless you. Is that Braman? Is this John Braman or Brannon? Is it B-R-A-M-A-N? Could somebody help me out with the name? I don't know, just somebody that needs prayer here. Is it somebody that just wants us to pray for? Who brought it? Is he going to come up here and just want us to pray for him later? Oh, I see. It's just a request for somebody that's got cancer that they want to be prayed for later. I thought they was here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I feel his presence tonight. Everybody that dwells in heaven, lift your hands up and rejoice tonight. The Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Brother, you're in heaven tonight. Glory to God. The saints of God are so precious and wonderful tonight. Hallelujah, sitting together in heavenly places, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our wonderful God. Hallelujah, we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So wonderful tonight. You can feel the exhilaration. You can feel the thrill. You can feel the jubilance. Lifted up and elevated above the despairs. Lifted up and elevated above the troubles. Lifted up and elevated above the heartaches and woes. There's a jubilance. There's a freedom. The oppression lifted. There's a lightness of spirit and heart. It makes you feel so good. You feel so wonderful. Feels like every fiber of your body is alive with the glory of God. All because you trust Him. And you've went through that transformating power. You know the Lord Jesus has, by His great Spirit, in one great act, by faith in God, translated our spirits into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And He is, by the ministry, step by step and day by day, progressively speaking through the fivefold ministry, from glory to glory, transforming our minds. Glory to glory, taking a little time, transforming our minds. Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then thirdly, God is working toward Thessalonians ultimatum. The change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that transfiguration of the body that Jesus had on the mount. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. I feel Him tonight, don't you? I wonder tonight if we could just step out, come down to the altar tonight, and let me pray for you tonight as you step out down here, children of God. Tomorrow's my last night, and I wonder if all of you just step out tonight. Come down. Let's just have just a little fellowship around the altar. Just step out tonight. Come down. Just for a moment. Then we're going to let you go. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith. Cast not away thy faith. Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Your faith hath great recompense of reward, my brother, sister. Cast not away thy faith, and don't let someone else take your crown. Hold fast to your crown, and don't let someone else take your crown. Hold on to your crown. God has given you a crown. Hold on to your crown. And don't let someone else take it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. It's your crown tonight. Don't do like Esau. Don't sell your birthright for a mess of pottage. Hold on to it. Hallelujah. hold on to it. Let's just lift our hands up and love him tonight. God bless your hearts tonight. I feel his love tonight. I tell you the truth and I lie not tonight. Jesus bearing me witness in the spirit. The rapture is close by, my brother, sister. The translation of the church is closer than you could ever know. People who are not spiritual, the Bible said, as a thief in the night shall it come upon them. And it shall come as a snare upon all them that dwell on the earth in the time when they shall not look for it. But in that hour, they were eating and they were drinking just as they are in this day. And there were earthquakes just as it has been over in the foreign country. We just heard about it in California and the different places. 20,000 killed, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places. And there shall be pestilence, and there shall be famines, all kind of sicknesses and problems. And there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Oh, what problems. This is the beginning of sorrows. Never been problems like this before, beloved. Never in the history of mankind, never before. It has never before been like this. And all of a sudden, here we are down at the end of the trail. And when we come here to set this tent in Jeff, this had to do with the end of the world. That's why we came here like we did. It has to do with the end of the world. Did you know? Scientists, we had made a prediction a number of years ago that the Lord would start winding things up in the early 80s. And so it has begun to happen. It has begun to happen. We spoke of the church coming together in the early part of the 80s. And they had that big rally in Washington for Jesus. They estimated 600,000 people of all kinds of churches, from the UPC all the way over to the Catholic churches. They got together. Even Billy Graham, Church of God, Methodist, Baptist, we had predicted that they'd do it in the early part of the year 80. They did it. They came together, my brother, sister. They came together. They started coming together. And then the results of it, we saw it in that great, wonderful move. 600,000 people had never had a thing like that before. They'd never got together before like that. People of all kind got together. Every kind of walk of life came together there. What is it? It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. And then we said that God would start winding things up in the 80s. And then all of a sudden, they come out and they published a little article and they said the planets are lining up. We knew nothing of it at all. And the Lord knows that's the truth, but we was going by what he had told us. And then they published the articles and they said that the planets are lining up, and in the alignment, it looks like by the latter part of 82 that the world will go into a convulsion and that it will bring on the end of the world, so that everything points to it. There's one thing for sure, whether they're right or whether they're wrong, the signs of the time are fulfilling. And Jesus called them, he rebuked them one time and said they were in hypocrisy because they couldn't discern the signs of the time. So then tonight we can discern the signs of the time. And I want you tonight to realize that the end of the world is here. And I want you to lift your hands up in all faith and fidelity tonight. I want you to love Jesus tonight, folks. I want you to make a new dedication to God. And I want you to ask Jesus tonight. You know, the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. God, you must serve God with your spirit. Your spirit is in your heart, and you must give God your spirit, for God is a spirit. He wants to live in your spirit, in your heart. Control your spirit, control your heart, then he'll control your body. So let God into your spirit, let God into your heart tonight. Surrender your heart to God. He said, you confess me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Give him your heart tonight. In the day you seek me with your whole heart, then shall I be found of you, saith the Lord. Don't let the love of the world be in your heart. Let the love of Jesus be in your heart. Let the love of Jesus be in your heart tonight. Oh, brother, don't lose your birthright for a morsel of bread. Remember how important this is. Remember how important it is. Eternal life, eternal riches, eternal power, eternal splendor, eternal youth, eternal brilliance, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Won't be any cripples. There won't be any helpless. Won't be any old, tired, weary, worn bodies. Just think, what a grand and glorious moment. What a great opportunity. And all of a sudden, it's here right at the door. Let's just lift our hands up and love Him for a minute, can you? I want to pray with you tonight, and I want you to give your heart to God, and I want to call upon the name of Jesus with you. The Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to call upon the name of the Lord tonight. Let's call upon the name of the Lord together. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we call upon the name of Jesus tonight. Feeling these heavenly places, feeling the wonderful Spirit of God, knowing that power has come, strength has come, and now the glory has come, Father. Lord, into the church. Lord, that you're glorifying the church. And I ask in the name of Jesus tonight, save our souls, Father. Heal our bodies, forgive our sins. Oh God, save our loved ones, Father. Draw us together in the power of the Spirit and the unity of the Spirit tonight, to save, to heal, God, to forgive tonight. Oh God, do something special for us tonight, that we can feel that blessing, feel that power, and know that you're with us tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and love Him. Can we call on Him tonight? Hallelujah. Father, do something for us in Jesus' name.